If you ask someone which holiday represents freedom, they'll probably say the 4th of July. But Memorial Day, then, should remind us of the price of freedom, those who gave their lives that we might enjoy liberty. Yes, it's Memorial Day, a day traditionally filled with picnics and parades, ball games, and barbecues. Our host, Rob West, has some Memorial Day thoughts. Then he answers your financial questions. But don't call, because today's program is pre-recorded, as you might imagine. I'm Steve Moore. It is good to have you along for this Memorial Day edition of MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, this is the unofficial first day of summer, of course. In past years, most people would have the day off. They'd get together with family and friends, enjoy grilling and other outdoor activities, maybe croquet and badminton. But today, of course, people are staying away from each other in most gatherings. But regardless, we don't want the real purpose of Memorial Day to get away from us, do we?
No, we certainly don't. And I'm not claiming the moral high ground here, Steve. I'm just as guilty as the next person of forgetting what Memorial Day is all about. And you know what, Steve? Even people who are well-intentioned about respecting this day often get it wrong. They conflate Memorial Day with Veterans Day. Hmm. There's a big difference between the two holidays. Memorial Day is intended to honor members of our armed services who gave their lives fighting in our nation's wars. Veterans Day, as the name implies, is about honoring those who served in the military and are still living and may need our help. It really does a disservice to both groups when we mix them up. Mm. And everybody does it, from presidential candidates to local reporters on the 6 o'clock news.
That's right. Well, let's make sure we don't confuse the two then. We're talking only about Memorial Day today, because obviously this is the day that we honor the memory of those who have fallen. And how are you doing that today, Rob?
Well, I've been thinking about a term Abraham Lincoln used in the Gettysburg Address when he was dedicating the National Cemetery there after that battle. I think it describes the price of freedom so eloquently. Lincoln talked about honoring those who fought there and, quote, gave the last full measure of their devotion. They gave everything that we might be free. And Jesus, of course, talks about that price, too, in John chapter 15, where he says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Now, most of us have no idea how many of our fellow Americans have paid that price for our freedom, how many gave the last full measure of their devotion. The total number of service members who've died in all of America's wars, from the Revolutionary War to the ongoing global war on terror, is almost 1.4 million. Steve, that's the true price of our freedom today.
Wow, so many, Rob. I'm sure some might ask, has it been worth it? Help us put that into perspective. What have we purchased for that difficult price?
Yeah. Well, those who paid that price certainly felt it was worth it. It gave us the most liberty of any people in history, both political and economic. Let's look at the political first. A form of limited representative government where power is divided among three branches, that's the basis of our Constitution. But even that wasn't enough. The founders insisted on a Bill of Rights that expressly limits the government's ability to intrude in our lives. That became the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. No other country enjoys liberty to this extent. Yeah. And for believers, how do we put a price on the First Amendment? It begins with, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. You see, our service members take an oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies. We're able to worship in freedom today, due in no small part to the price paid by those who gave their lives defending that right. Add to that the freedom of the press, the right to trial by jury, and many others that are unheard of in other parts of the world.
And what about the economic impact of all this freedom we've been given?
Well, it's been nothing less than phenomenal. Limited government made the United States the fount of free enterprise. People came from all over the world to obtain that freedom, to make their own way, to succeed or fail on their own without interference from kings or other tyrants. Our freedom has made us not only the wealthiest country on earth, but the wealthiest in history. Of course, it's up to us now to preserve that freedom and to use that wealth wisely, and that's proving to be a big challenge.
Well said, Rob. Well, indeed, it is Memorial Day, and we've been discussing the price of freedom. Next, we go to the phones, but today's program, obviously, is pre-recorded. However, if you'd like to be on an upcoming program, you can call us anytime, 24-7, 800-525-7000. Leave your name, number, and question, and someone will call you back to arrange a time to have you join us on a future program. Again, 800-525-7000. I'll take a burger, and we'll be right back.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
And now, a discipleship moment. Here's Phil Downer.
Ann was so hurt by her husband, Fred, she couldn't leave the house. Fred's critical tongue had just broken her heart. Susie and I knew of the problem, went to see them, and frankly, we were a little scared. But we prayed and asked God for His words. As we sat in our living room, we shared how we struggled to live out 1 Corinthians 13:4 that begins, "Love is patient, love is kind." We admitted that our failure to express those qualities had hurt each other, and then asked them about their lives. That started a wonderful discipling relationship that blessed all four of us. Say, friend, I know your marriage isn't perfect, but it's probably better than most. Share your weaknesses and God's answers with another couple, and you'll all be blessed.
To help your marriage, get Phil's book, Unlimited Partnership. For information on all the resources of the Discipleship Network of America, go to Downer.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
And a happy Memorial Day to you. Again, today's broadcast is pre-recorded, so we can be off with family, cooking dogs and burgers on the grill, perhaps. Maybe, if we're lucky, some chicken wings. But nonetheless, we're glad you're with us today as we support Memorial Day and all of those who have helped make our freedom possible and given their lives for it. Let's take some phone calls, Rob, if it's all right with you, sir. Coral, yes, sir. Springs, Florida. And Alex, what's on your mind, sir?
Well, guys, first of all, thank you so much for your time and your wise counsel all the time. I've had the, I don't know if it's a good luck or bad luck of having to drive to my second job listening to your show between 4 and 5 and hammering away of living in God's way. So I don't know if that's a blessing or I don't know what it is.
Yeah. You'll have to decide that for yourself, Alex.
Yeah. Well, to make a long story short, I was trying to get out of debt a couple years ago, and me and my wife were very close. We were doing the Ramsey, you know, snowballing all our bills, blah, blah, blah. And we're doing pretty good. Then I fell sick. I had cancer, and then basically I just was without work and just the medical bills, blah, blah, blah. So now I'm right back from where I started. Now, I have two businesses in Puerto Rico, even though I live here in Coral Springs, and I have a business here in Coral Springs as well. But the two in Puerto Rico are I have a partner, my brother, and he wants out. He wants to get out of the Puerto Rican market. So we were told we could sell them, but they would be at a huge discount. And I contemplated doing that because I was like, well, man, I could take that money. I could pay off all my debt and just start over and maybe, you know, put some money down on a little house or something like that. But at the same time, that's my nest egg. The house, the stores are paid for. They're just, you know, it's money coming in, and I don't even have to be over there to actually run them. I run them remotely here from Florida. So I think I'm going to buy my brother out and just keep the store for myself. But that's a dilemma, man. I don't know what to do. I'm just in a quandary. So
yeah. Tell me how you would do that, Alex. What resources do you have to buy him out, or would you have to borrow additional money?
He's, you know, he is my brother, so he's having mercy on me, and he says that he will finance the sale over 15 years, and I'm just going to pay him basically a small amount over 15 years, and I basically, but he's going to resolve himself of all of anything that has to do with the store. So if they go belly up, or if I go belly up, he keeps the stores, and so that's where we're at with that. So that's how we're going to do that.
Okay. I think the key there is, I mean, obviously you all have been in business together to this point, and so you just need to recognize that now you're moving into a different type of relationship as he's the lender and you're the borrower in a sense. Now he has the collateral of the store, but you just need to make sure that all of that is clearly documented as to what everybody's intentions are going into this, what you know, interest rate is involved here, what happens if in fact something happens and you're not able to make the payment, what happens at that point. You want to make sure there's clarity there, because the last thing you'd want is relational damage as a result of you trying to make this purchase from him. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I just want to make sure that you all have a lot of clarity on the front end and you understand that the relationship is changing as you move to this new situation. Do you feel like you've processed that yourself and with him?
We're very, when it comes to that, business is business, and we don't try not to cross those boundaries, at least with that. So yes, everything's been going to be on paper, but with the attorneys, with the amortization schedule, everything that it takes, just like if it was a rigorous sale. So
yeah. So let's talk about then your situation, your personal situation. Tell me about the debt that you have right now.
Well, right now I'm like $85,000 in debt. I've been offered to sell those two stores for cash for $300,000, even though they're worth five. And I'm like, but in reality, I would split that with my brother after I pay off the debt. Then what am I got? I got nothing. You know,
What type of debt is the $85,000?
It's mostly consumer debt. I mean, it's, 25 of it's cars payments and the rest is, credit cards.
All right. And what about your current income? What are you doing other than the income stream you have coming from the stores overseas?
Well, I had a store here in Florida, but it's not doing so well. So I'm going to sell that. When I took a bath with this, with the one here in Florida, I'm going to sell it. And I'm actually working a second job at night as going back to what I used to do, which was wait tables. So I'm doing whatever I got to do to make things happen. So,
yeah. And what's the plan moving forward to be able to get on top of this? Because that's obviously, you know, a good bit of debt. Once we take the cars out of this, are you saying that you've got about $60,000 in credit card debt?
Yeah, I would say something like that. Maybe around 45 or 50. Yeah.
Okay. And why do you have to sell these at such a discount?
Because the Puerto Rican market's dragging big time. My stores are doing okay. They make money. I made they cleared $100,000 last year, so they're fine. Okay, that's why I'm like, but it's just people are wanting out because of just what's going on over there. It's, you know, since they defaulted on those things, and the crime is crazy, and you know, it's just you know, I think it's going to get a little darker before it gets lighter. So, but I was willing to ride the storm out. Yeah. Literally, because I mean, I read the storm out last year.
Yeah. So, well, the thing I'm concerned about, I mean, obviously, I don't like the thought of you taking that big a haircut there on the sale of that asset, the business. But what I don't like is the current situation of your finances, the weight of this debt that you have on you. That's a lot of credit card debt. That's a lot of interest you're paying. I don't see necessarily a plan in terms of getting your income up here in the States to be able to get out from under this. And I really want to make sure for for your sake and your wife and your marriage and just the stress that you have on you, not to mention just being a good steward of God's money, that you have a plan that makes sense on paper. And so I'm going to encourage you to get some counsel, somebody who can sit down with you, analyze the businesses, look perhaps somebody who knows the markets overseas there in Puerto Rico, perhaps. And obviously, there's a lot of folks there in South Florida because of how many people do business like you are in other markets outside the U.S. Get somebody who can help you make that proper analysis and really help you figure out exactly what the path forward is. Because, you know, I think perhaps selling these and getting yourself on a better financial footing, assuming you have a plan here in the States to earn the income you need to support yourself, may be the best option if there's not another path forward that can get you out of this debt in a reasonable time period. I just don't like the pressure and the interest, frankly, financially that you're paying. So there's some wonderful financial planners there in South Florida that have the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. I'd encourage you to visit with one of them. You can go to moneywiselive.org and find one in your area there in Coral Springs. And I think that's going to be your best next step. And then once you get that counsel, if you want to talk it over in terms of the recommendations, give us a call back at that point.
Alex, you sound like a hardworking guy, and we'll pray that God gives you real wisdom and direction as you work through this. Thanks so much for contacting us today. You're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West, and we'll be back with more phone calls, perhaps yours, after this.
Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." Michael Blue's new book, Financial Hope, will help you find that hope and peace. This hands-on study will show you the four H's of financial wisdom to help you apply the power of God's Word to your finances. Right now, request your copy of Financial Hope when you support MoneyWise Live with a gift of $25 or more at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
Quit giving sin permission to do what it lacks the position to do. If you and I are in Christ, sin no longer gets to wear that crown in our lives. It doesn't get to. The only way it can talk us into wigging out left again, and I'm talking about when we get ourselves into a stronghold. This is talking about as a lifestyle. This is talking about habitual areas of sin. Only way it can get us there is we got to give it permission. We got to give it permission because it no longer has the position nor the power. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't wear the crown anymore. It can't. That was in Adam. You and I are in Christ. So we got to quit giving sin permission to do what it lacks the position to do. I love what the New American Commentary said right here. It said to choose to go left, and I'm saying that in my terminology, to choose that we're going to go under the mastery of sin in this area, he says is this, is the spiritual equivalent of digging up a corpse for fellowship. Digging up a corpse for fellowship. Just like hanging with, we're just going to go digging that thing up. Just digging that thing up. Digging that thing out.
You've been listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore. Beth would love for you to tune in each Tuesday night for Bible study. Classes begin at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 Central on TBN. Maybe you had to miss a Tuesday. No problem. Go to BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org. You can watch the latest episode of her television program and more. Again, that's BethMoore.org.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Thank you. It's our Memorial Day edition of MoneyWise Live with Rob West. We are not live today because we have the day off because, well, it's Memorial Day. But we're glad that you're listening, and I'm sure you have a full day with friends, family, or whatever God has called you to do today. But we're honored that you'd set aside some time to listen to us, so thanks so much. Montgomery, Illinois. Kristen, thanks for your patience and for holding. What's on your mind?
I am in an odd position, but I'm going through a lot of changes, and I'm trying to figure out how I need to plan. I understand it's more important for me to plan for my retirement rather than, like, say, my kids' college and whatnot, but I found myself a widow last year, and so I've got six little ones. Our living situation has been interesting. I don't pay rent, and I don't have a mortgage. We are allowed to stay in a family member's house. Free of rent, we just pay our bills and, you know, do the small maintenance to the house. But as I am looking forward, knowing that here, you know, I'm going to have to move at some point here. I'm guessing in 5 years is the timeline I gave myself. But trying to figure out what is more important for me at this point, is it to purchase a home and or rent? Or am I better off investing money for my retirement? Where I'm working right now, I don't know how long I'm going to stay there. I might drop down to part-time because I work full-time outside of the house, but with the kids, I'm finding it to be quite hard. I get some money for Social Security for them, but it's not enough to make up for should I stop, you know, working completely. I have a pension here in Illinois, and I know pensions are going by the wayside, and I know that you're supposed to roll your stuff over with you and have it follow you, but since pensions are not, you know, they're dinosaurs, if you will, I left it and I haven't done anything with it. But my current employer, I have a 401k and I'm putting in enough for them to match, but that's all I'm doing right now. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, do I need to plan for my retirement? Is that my focus? Or do I need to work on savings so that I can purchase a home? Yeah. Illinois is quite expensive, okay. So I'm looking to probably move out of Illinois somewhere south. Exactly where, I mean, I don't know, but things that I'm trying to look at.
Very good. Well, Kirsten, you've got a lot on your plate, and I'm so sorry to hear about your husband's passing. I'm grateful for a family member who stepped in and provided a home for you all to live in free of charge, apart from the expenses. That's a huge blessing. It's part of God's provision in your life and obviously family members who love and care for you, and that's wonderful. But I think you're asking the right questions. You're obviously a hard worker, and you want to think about your future, and that's the right thing to do. I do think that right now, perhaps saving for the house and retirement are certainly the priority over saving for college. There are other ways to pay for college. And so we want to set that aside as much as we'd like to be saving for that as well. I love the fact that you are taking full advantage of the match. I would continue to do that. If you were to just stay with that and perhaps not get up to the 10 to 15% going toward retirement that we would normally like to see, but if you were to just fully maximize the matching portion of your 401k with your current employer, and I realize your situation may change here fairly soon, how much would that give you over and above other expenses to put away toward your down payment on a house?
I don't have anything saved up for a house right now. I'm matching, I think it's like 6%, but I've cut my hours to the lowest I can be and still remain full-time. I only work 30 hours a week. So like an actual dollar amount on it, I'm not sure. But I do have the money coming in for Social Security, which is usually, you know, that's about $1,500 what I get for the kids. So it's not a lot, but I'm working, so I don't like absolutely need it right now. I do pull from it here and there, but I realize that if I don't have not necessarily a budget, but the spending, I don't have my spending tracked. I haven't done that in a while. I need to get back to that, but I could probably put away, it wouldn't surprise me if I could put away probably $1,000 a month.
Okay. All right. Wow. Well, that's great. And that's really where I would go next. I would really work on that spending plan, perhaps connect with one of our MoneyWise Live coaches. They'll work with you at no cost, help you develop that spending plan, get on a system where you're tracking the flow of money. I'd continue with the match for now and fully fund the match in your retirement account, but then put the rest of that surplus toward funding your emergency fund when it gets up to 3 months' expenses. Then I'd flip that over into a saving account for the house. And if you can stay there up to 5 years and put that money away and have that 20% down payment and buy something that fits into your spending plan, certainly that would be the path that I would pursue. So I would stay on that track. I think your next step is to really focus in on the budget and then develop a clear plan on what you can put away over that period of time, so you know exactly what you're working toward, and then you can make that home purchase down the road. At the very least, you could move out on your own and get an apartment and rent or a townhouse or something like that. But it sounds like you're on the right track. I know there's a lot on you right now, so just stay the course. Know that God is there with you. He's your provider, and that's where your trust ultimately needs to be.
Yeah. And Rob, even at $1,000 a month, if she's able to save that much, set aside that much, it still may take her a couple of years, but that's okay, right? As far as saving up the down payment? Yeah.
Well, that's right. Yeah, especially because the Lord has provided this housing situation with where there's no cost, and she can stay there up to 5 years in her own timeline that she's kind of put in place. And I think that's the key. Don't leave it open-ended. Have a plan. Know what you're working toward, and then go after it.
Okay. Kristen, again, we appreciate your call, and we wish you and all your children the very best. Thanks so much. You're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. It's our Memorial Day edition of the program. We're going to pause for a break momentarily, but when we come back, we'll be hearing from a caller in Mentor, Ohio. They want to know what type of life insurance to have. David is in Clearwater, Florida. They just moved recently, like yesterday. They're going to rent and want to know what precautions to take before they decide to purchase a home, and now might not be a bad time to purchase a home if you have all of your financial and mortgage type ducks in a row. And then coming up after the break, I think we're going to Spokane, Washington. Dee is 65. She's on disability, never married, and wants to know just how to approach the next stage of her life as far as income and renting out a room, things like that. And we'll talk about those things and take some more phone calls as well. You're listening to MoneyWise Live. And by the way, you can find us on Facebook at MoneyWise Media. Check us out. Lots of great information there. And of course, our regular website is moneywiselive.org. You'll find free resources there, radio archives, and it's also a way that you can make a donation if you'd like. moneywiselive.org. We'll be back with more of the program right after this.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
The Moody Bible Institute verse of the week during this Memorial Week is found in John 15:12-14. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. That's John 15:12-14, the Moody Bible Institute verse of the week.
One more reason why the ministry of Moody Radio is so important.
This may be the only opportunity somebody might have to hear the gospel. We know that the gospel will change lives, and so that's why it's important. We need changed lives that will follow Christ.
Your gift to Moody Radio helps listeners like this encounter the gospel through clear Bible teaching.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Do you know the 7 things not to do with your money in uncertain times? And would you like to know 10 ways to trim your budget amid the current pandemic? Well, you'll get those answers and much more when you subscribe to the new MoneyWise e-magazine. You'll receive valuable expert articles. You'll even get access to exclusive podcast episodes. And your subscription is free. Get access to the MoneyWise e-magazine at moneywiselive.org/signup.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Americans marking a Memorial Day like no other as the coronavirus pandemic upended traditional commemorations, the virus forcing communities to honor the nation's military dead with smaller, more subdued ceremonies like car convoys and online tributes instead of parades. Observances were canceled or toned down across the country. On the weekend that marks the unofficial start of summer, U.S. authorities are warning beachgoers to heed social distancing rules. President Trump and the First Lady were in Baltimore today visiting the Fort McHenry National Monument and Historic Shrine. That was the inspiration for the Star-Spangled Banner. Earlier, the president led a solemn Memorial Day ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery. That's just across the Potomac from Washington. He was joined by Vice President Pence. This is SRN News.
For what does it profit a man to gain the entire world and forfeit his soul? That's from Mark 8:36. A good reminder. What good does it do to add even more stuff to your garage and your closets when you can't use all that you have? You have to insure it. You have to put gasoline in it. Why do we want to obtain all of this and add all of this and pay for storage lockers at the risk of being distracted from the things God has called us to do? And when I say stuff like that, I'm talking to myself as well, believe me. Let's continue on, Spokane, Washington. And hey, Dee, thanks so much for holding and for calling us today. What's your situation?
Oh, thank you. I'm 65, single. I've never married, and I'm on disability. And I've had to live off my savings, and the savings is gone. I'm kind of late in asking for help and understanding and what to do next. Sure. And I just wanted to know, in order to survive, that's why I was living off my savings, augmenting my disability income. And I'm wondering, should I sell my home and put that money somehow in some sort of investment that I could maybe get some percentage given back to me every month and go rent a room? Or should I stay in my home and rent a room? And would renting the room take away from my disability income? I have heating oil taxes, furnace heating oil annually taxes, and then all the other expenses. So,
yeah. So tell me a little bit about your budget in terms of being able to balance. How far off are you on a monthly basis?
This is how it is. I get $940.50 on disability. I take out of that 15% for the Lord. Then out of that comes Medicare, and that gives me $670 a month. Then I have expenses not including my breakdown of oil or gas, food, anything, of just utilities and home and auto insurance and phone, electrical. That comes to about $273. I don't use credit cards. So that gives me $397 a month to live on. That's why I was dipping into my savings.
Yeah, yeah. And you own your home free and clear, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, All right. Well, I think the key is that, you know, you obviously need to right size this so we don't go underwater anymore. And the ability for you to sell, take this asset, and if you could invest it conservatively in a way that would generate some income, you know, we would typically use the 4% rule on that. And so if you were to take this money after expenses, you know, let's say you end up with, you say it's worth $275,000 a day?
At least, uh-huh.
Okay. So $275,000, let's say you end up having 7% in the way of expenses. So you'd have 93% left over. So you have around $255,000. And if we were to invest that, you'd generate about $10,000 a year. So obviously that on a monthly basis would be about $850, and that would be taxable. Would roughly $700 a month allow you to cover your expenses?
Yes, I think that would be good. Yeah.
Okay. Now, yeah. Obviously, you'd have to add rent on top of that, and so that's what we're going to have to look at. I think my producer is telling me that the median rent price in Spokane is around $1,300. So you'd have to look at something that you could afford. Perhaps you get a place with a couple of rooms, and you and a roommate split that. But I think that's going to be what you need to look at next. Is say, okay. Does having this money working for me and generating an income with me now having to take on a rent payment when I'm currently don't have any mortgage at all or rent, are those two going to offset one another? It probably won't. You're probably going to have to spend more on rent, I would guess, than you would be able to conservatively generate on this money working for you without you having to pull from the principal. And if you're having to pull from the principal every month, then we're actually in the same situation where you're just going to erode your savings over time. Does that all make sense?
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah. Well, yes. I think we just have to compare what you're going to add to your budget by selling the property and renting versus what you could earn on a conservative basis from this asset once it's invested. And if we think we can generate about $10,000 a year without you having to touch the $250,000 after expenses, that's probably not enough for you to cover the rent that you're going to be adding to your budget. And so we're now back in this situation where you're going to be having to borrow from yourself on a monthly basis just to keep things afloat. So I think perhaps the next step is to look at what you could do to offset your expenses in terms of perhaps getting a roommate in your current home or selling the property, putting that money to work, and then renting where you can get the rent down by having a roommate come into that rental property. And I think those are the two options. That will probably result in a better situation because you're going to get your expenses down and have this supplement of income coming in. So what I might do, Dee, is go visit with a realtor in your area to find out exactly what you can get for the property. And then I'd work with one of our MoneyWise coaches to get a more detailed analysis of your spending and just look at what your rent would be, build that into the budget, and factor in what the investments could generate, and then just see ultimately what is the best scenario from you on paper. Once you do all of that, feel free to give us a call back if you have further questions, but you can connect with one of our MoneyWise coaches at moneywiselive.org.
And Dee, I hope that helped you. Thank you so much. MoneyWiseLive.org. It's how you can connect with a coach, and there's no charge for that, and they will work with you as long as they have to just help you get to a place where you want to be and help you figure out what the next step might be. David is in Clearwater, Florida. David, we have just a tiny bit of time. I understand you've been a resident there for like 24 hours or something, right?
Yeah, not even quite 24 hours.
Okay, what? Lay it on us real quick here. What's your question?
Well, we have sold our house in Illinois, and we packed up the moving truck. I haven't closed on that. We should close in early May, but I need to start my new job down here on next Monday. I have a generous offer from a friend of ours that had a rental here in Clearwater, so we're staying there until we find a place. I have been pre-qualified, and I listened to your show a couple weeks ago where you talked about being pre-approved. and the difference between the two. So I'm wondering, as we move forward in the Florida area around Clearwater, what are things to look out for, and what is the pre-approval process, and how do we do this in a new state?
Yeah, okay. Very good. Well, I think the key is to make sure that you've got everything nailed down in terms of, you know, where you want to live and perhaps staying in that rental for up to a year just to make sure you know what part of town you want to be in, you know about the school districts if you have kids, you get a lay of the land on the traffic patterns and what your commute is going to be. I mean, do you feel like you need some time to figure all that out, or do you all have a good sense of where you want to land?
I'd like to land around the Clearwater area somewhere, no kids to worry about, just my wife and I and the dog. And
okay, very good. Well, what I would do next then is go to bankrate.com, begin to look at some of the lenders there, and then find a good mortgage broker who's not tied to one lender in your area. Perhaps call one of the churches in the area to see if they can make a recommendation.
David, stay on the line. We'll talk to you a bit off the air. Thanks. We'll be right back.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. One of the prevailing hindrances to personal faith sharing is the feeling of not being good enough to speak up on God's behalf, which, of course, is absurd. It's like you're not really forgiven that you haven't been set free. But if you've repented of your sin and sought God's forgiveness, you're free. And who the Lord sets free is free indeed. And if that doesn't put a bounce in your step and a testimony in your mouth, something's wrong. I mean, really wrong. Telling yourself that you're not good enough to represent God is bad theology and a lie from Satan, who so wants to neutralize your testimony. Don't let him do that. Let your light so shine before men that they will glorify your Father in heaven. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone you're with today closer to Jesus. If you want to know how easy that is, go to ROTW.com.
What is your biggest obsession? Odds are it was different a month ago than it is today. It is hard to not get caught up in the pandemic and the far-reaching effects it is having on all our lives. Everywhere we turn, the news is about the coronavirus and what changes it is forcing to our everyday lives. We are often pulled into things in ways that steal our focus from what should matter most. Other times, the stress and worry of life force us to think only about what matters most. As much as times like this remind us of the importance of good health, family, and community, there is one relationship that matters more than all the others. That is our relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants to walk through these uncertain times with you and take all your fears. If you want to know how to do that, then call 888-NEED-HIM to learn how to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is 888-NEED-HIM, or chat with us at chataboutjesus.com.
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Welcome back to MoneyWise Live, where each day we do our best to remember that God owns it all. We're managers or stewards, as the Bible puts it. God gives us the principles we need to maximize what he's given us throughout our lives. And if we can help you, well, normally we would give out a phone number. Here is the number, 800-525-7000. But because today is a holiday, we're not here today. But we'll be here tomorrow, and maybe you could call us then, 800-525-7000. Mentor Ohio, Jo Lynn, we know you've been holding for a while. Thanks for that. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I have a
question. My husband and I both have term life insurance. It ends in 2024, and our life insurance agent came out and quoted us a whole life policy with a rider for nursing home insurance. And we're wondering, is it worth doing that? Should we just keep, should we not have insurance at all? We're going to be retiring. Probably my husband will retire 4 or 5 years. I have a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But we really not quite sure what we need to do at this point.
Yeah. It's a great question, JoLynn. What would be the reason for the death benefit? I understand why you'd want to have long-term care coverage, but what would be the reason for the death benefit once you reach retirement age?
Mainly just in case one of us goes. We do have enough to bury us. That's why we're really not even sure if we want to keep the term life anymore.
Yeah. And in terms of your retirement budget, have you looked at what your expenses are going to be and compared that to what you're going to be generating from investments off of savings and Social Security, things like that?
Yes, we're pretty well. We've got quite a few 401ks. We have an RIA. I mean, we really don't have too. We've been very blessed. We don't have too much to worry about in retirement.
Great. Yeah. So the key here then for retirement is you don't want to be sold another policy if you don't need it. The purpose for insurance is to offset a risk, and that risk would be in the case of a death of you or your spouse, the loss of an income or an additional expense. And once you reach retirement, because you've been good stewards of your money, you've been savers, you don't have that risk. And so that's off the table. So in fact, we want to be looking for ways to reduce your expenses as you get into retirement by having as little insurance as possible and making sure you're completely debt-free. So what I would probably suggest is that it sounds like to me, based on the limit of information I have, that the term insurance is going to run out at right about the right time. And you don't need any more life insurance at that point because you're self-insured. Now, what you probably need is long-term care insurance, and the best time to start looking at that is between 55 and 60 years old. So this is probably the time to be looking for a policy. I realize you can add it to a whole life policy, but you're paying extra expense there for the death benefit that's not needed at that point. So I'd look for a good quality long-term care insurance policy that provides for the daily benefit that you need based on your desires for where you'd like to be cared for during that season if it's needed, and that fits into your budget. And so you're going to be looking for somebody who specializes in long-term care insurance. If you don't have someone, you could go to our website, moneywiselive.org, connect with a certified Kingdom advisor and ask for a referral to a long-term care insurance specialist. But as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't sound like you need life insurance at all. If anything, the only thing you need at this point is to look into the long-term care.
JoLynn, thank you very much for your call. Let's move briefly or quickly, rather, to Andrews, North Carolina. Rick, welcome to MoneyWise Live.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, thank you.
My question is, me and my wife, basically, we're going to be starting over. I'm 56 and she's 57, and we're making a move to another state, and we have nothing for retirement. But the job I'll be starting, it does have a semi-matching 401k. And I was just, you know, if I do that and then maybe find a way to do a Roth, mm-hmm. if we can manage that.
Nice.
I mean, basically, we're looking at probably just trying to still be working and not really looking at a retirement, but to have something to help.
Yeah. Sure. All well, right. I think that's good thinking, Rick. And despite the fact that, you know, you don't have a lot to speak of now, the key is, as a steward of God's money, how do we really conduct ourselves? How do we manage his money moving forward and make the best decisions we can in light of biblical principles? And I think the key is starting with that spending plan to say, first of all, what are the goals we have based on our values and what's important to us? We want to be givers, so let's give right off the top. We want to live well within God's provision, and so we don't want to live outside of that using debt, and we want to be savers for the long term. Now, there's two functions to retirement. There's the saving side, but then there's the expense side. So I want you to be thinking about both. What can you be putting away over these next 10 or 20 years, if the Lord tarries and your health is good, where you're continuing to work, So you can maximize what you're putting away for the long term and building it up as you can. The other side of that is the expense side. What can you be doing now and in retirement to keep your lifestyle low so you have as much as you can that you can put toward long-term savings, and so that you get to retirement in that season completely debt-free, which is going to further decrease your expenses. I think those are the things you need to be working on, and it's just the daily grind. We got to operate on a spending plan. We got to sacrifice in the short term for the long term, and we've got to really be focused and disciplined on putting away what we can. And then at the end of the day, we leave the rest to the Lord and say, Lord, I trust you, and I just want to be a good steward of what you've given me. But I think you're on the right track. I'm glad to hear that you have a plan for saving, and I think that's the key.
Thank you, Rick. All right. We wish you the best, Rick. Thanks very much. Chicago, Illinois. Edelmira. Is it Edelmira? Or help me with this, please.
Pronounced Edelmira.
Edelmira. Okay. Well, if my eyes are failing me, I apologize. But how can we help you?
Well, thank you for taking my call. My question was, I received Social Security and my daughter received disability. And I just wanted to know if I'm supposed to be tithing on both.
Well, Edelmira, we appreciate your call so much. And I realize that this question comes from a heart that desires to honor the Lord. And here's what I would say. The principle of the tithe is on your increase. Now, there would be some that would say, well, you've been paying into Social Security, and this is an entitlement. This is something that comes based on a need after you've been paying into the system for a long period of time. And so that technically is not your increase. I take a little bit of a different perspective. I just look at it as whatever funds come into my possession from whatever source, I'm going to take that and I'm going to give the first produce of that, of my entire harvest, which my entire harvest would include welfare and Social Security and supplemental Social Security income and unemployment and disability and inheritance and, of course, regular income. And I'm going to say, I want to give from a heart of a joyful giver, and I want to give back to the Lord because I can't outgive God. Now, that's just my perspective. That's kind of, as I look at it, how we can honor the Lord off of whatever he brings our way and from whatever source, recognizing that ultimately he's our provider, not the government or anything else. But at the end of the day, I think you need to wrestle through that with God and come to your own conviction. But that would be my perspective, is that we tithe, we apply the principle of the tithe right on the top from anything that comes in as a part of your increase. And I would include Social Security and disability in that.
Edelmira, we're glad that you called today again. Sorry, I have mispronounced your name, but we hope that information helps you. Great question. Rob, what do you say we take a brief email, all right?
Very good.
All right, good. This is from Ann. She says, hi, Rob. I need some information about starting a savings account on a very slim budget. Can you help?
Yeah. Well, we talk about savings all the time here on MoneyWise because it's affirmed in Scripture and it is a part of every financial plan that is going to be successful. We want to be givers. We also want to be savers, and it begins with that emergency fund. Your goal while you have credit card debt, and just to give you a target, is $1,500. Once you eradicate your credit card debt, if you have any, you want to get up to 3 to 6 months' expenses. Now, how do you do that on a slim budget? Well, the key is to have something systematic. So I want you to go back to the spending plan and give it one more run through. Make sure you look for every possible area you can cut back within reason. Is there a subscription you no longer need? Is there an automatic charge that is just there and you've gotten used to it, but you could turn it off and free up $9 a month, $15 a month, whatever you can. And then whatever that amount is that you can apply to your savings, I want you to set up an automatic transfer into a savings account that's separate from your checking account. So open that at either Ally or Capital One 360 or Marcus, somewhere that gives you a good interest rate. Link it to your checking account and then set up that automatic transfer. It might be $20 or $50 a month, whatever you can do. That's going to get you in the habit of saving. It's going to become automatic and it's going to build over time. Remember, our goal is to get up to 3 to 6 months' expenses in your emergency savings in a separate account. Then we can start to look at long-term savings.
Mm. Great information. And Rob, for the person who says, we're recommending that they do have a savings account, even though it's a slim budget. We also hear from people who say, I don't make enough money to budget. How do you respond to that?
Well, everybody makes enough money to budget. Remember, if you're a major multimillion-dollar corporation, you have a budget. And somebody who's living on a fixed income, they need a budget, certainly. And everybody in between. We all need a plan for our money, or our money will have a plan for us, I promise you.
Okay. And if you'd like to send a brief email to Rob, send it along to questions@moneywise.org. Keep it brief, questions@moneywise.org. Hey, thanks so much for being with us and for listening to us today on this Memorial Day edition of the program. You know, as a not-for-profit ministry, we do depend upon the grace and generosity of listeners just like you. If you'd like to join us in our mission to help Christians get out of debt, find a balanced lifestyle, and increase their generosity and giving, would you consider a gift to help us today? You can give quickly and safely when you visit MoneyWiseLive.org, MoneyWiseLive.org. My thanks to our behind-the-scenes staff today, Amy, Judy, Gabby T., and Rich Rosel as well. And again, thanks so much for listening. Hope you have a great remainder of your holiday and that you'll join us tomorrow. We'll be here with a brand-new edition of MoneyWise.